And I want to ask you to go with me to Psalm 124, the book of Psalms 124. While you're turning there, let me just put a word out there that Sunday morning service, we originally did not think we would be able to live stream that because of the staff that were going to be gone. Pardon me. That's still the case. However, I'm going to do my very best to do a Facebook Live, come at you on our Facebook page and do a Facebook Live, and I'm not quite sure exactly what time I'll go live, but once I do, that will be out there and you'll be able to watch it. But I'll let you know on a phone call what time, if you want to join me live on Sunday morning, and let you know what time that's going to be. Psalm 124, and this is a song of degrees. When you see a song of degrees, I mentioned this recently in one of my sermons, that when you see a song of degrees, what that really means is that the people of God, as they would journey to Jerusalem to worship, they always considered that to be going up to Jerusalem. It didn't matter north, south, east, west. And when they went to Jerusalem, because that's where the capital was and that's where the temple was, and in their minds, they were always going up to the house of the Lord. And so these songs of degrees, they would sing them degrees of elevation. They were going up to the house of the Lord. Some of them are called songs of ascent, as they ascended to the house of the Lord. If you keep that in mind, when you read some of these, you'll understand why they had these particular words in mind. And this particular psalm, which is one of my favorites, is a song of remembering. The psalmist here remembers where the Lord had brought them and what he had done for them. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, he says, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. I love that. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. There are times in our lives, there are moments in our lives, there are seasons in our lives where we can look back and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the only reason we made it through, it wasn't because of our doing, it wasn't because of something we thought up, it wasn't our ingenuity, our talents, it wasn't even our anointing. It wasn't that we prayed more than other people, or we were more faithful to the house of God, or we knew more scripture, and all of those things are wonderful, don't get me wrong, but there are times that we go through in our lives, and we can point back on, maybe even on the calendar and say, you know what, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then I would have been swallowed up when that came against me and that sickness tried to overtake me and my finances were coming in on me and family situations were coming in on me and church things were coming in on me, whatever. The life issues that come upon all of us, the storms of life, if it had not been the Lord, thank God, who was on my side. I want you to think about that for a moment, that the Lord is on your side. He's on your side. Now, if you ever have played a team sports or a team competition, you know how valuable it is who's on your side. There's times when I'm playing on a team, maybe for golf or maybe some, and I don't play much else, other sports anymore. I'm getting to that age where I think golf's about the only thing I've got to look forward to anymore. I can play that when I'm old and grumpy maybe. But when you play a team sport, you're looking around at who's on our team because you want some good people on your team. And when you think about the children of Israel, they said, you know what, we looked around and yeah, we've got good captains of our army and we've got some good horsemen and we've got some good chariots maybe, but if the Lord's not on our side, none of that means anything. And so thank God that the Lord, think about that, the Lord is on your side. Now I know how the enemy works, and the enemy comes against us. He comes against our minds and tries to mess with your mind and cause you to think that you're walking through this valley alone. That you're fighting this fight by yourself, that you're facing this storm all by yourself. And there's nothing in this world like feeling alone. But I came tonight to remind you that you're not alone. that the Lord is on your side. And right now, it's such strange times. There are people that I want to be by their sides, and I want to be able to go and visit. And right now, because of the nature of this sickness, you're just not able to go and physically be with people. But, and, you know, there's only so much to be said for, well, I'm there in spirit, and I am, and I'm praying for them, and I'm calling and speaking with them, but I want to be there in body. But thank God, even if you're in a hospital by yourself, you're not by yourself, because the Lord is on your side. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I don't know what you're facing tonight. I know what some of you are going through, but I don't know what everybody's going through. But I do know this, you're not alone, because the Lord is on your side. And if God be for us, the Bible says, then who can be against us? I like one psalmist that said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Have you ever thought about the power that all God has to do is arise? I preached a message years ago called When God Stands Up. And all God has to do is arise. When he stands up, he's so mighty that his enemies flee before him. And when he's on your side, that means your enemies are also his enemies. It's not just your enemy, it's his enemy. And when God arises, those enemies have to scatter. You ought to take a moment, thank God for the fact that he's on your side. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, in other words, if he hadn't been on our side, we would have been swallowed up. But also, if it hadn't been the Lord, had it been anybody else that was on our side, there are some situations where your friends can't help you. It doesn't matter who else is on your side. If it's not the Lord, you're going to be swallowed up. And I thank God for friends, and I've got some good ones, and I thank God for a wife, and I've got the best, and I thank God for family, and I've got a great family, and I thank God for church people, and I got some great brothers and sisters, and I thank God for good ministry friends, and I thank God for that. I've got some good ones, but I'm telling you, there are some things that I go through in my life, and I've been through some things that if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, all that other help, thankful for it, it's a blessing, but I still would have been swallowed up, because there are some things I just need the Lord, and I can't make it without the Lord. Said so then they had swallowed us up quick. It would have been a quick defeat. There wouldn't have been any question about it. I would have gone down, and I would have gone down quickly when their wrath was kindled against me. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our souls. He's saying this is what would have happened. Sometimes you got to stop and think about what would have happened had God not shown up, and you got to thank God for the things that didn't happen. He said, if it hadn't been the Lord, the proud waters had gone over our soul. We would have died drowning. We would have gone out of this world gurgling for our breath. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. And I'm going to tell you, you don't sing. You don't know how to sing until you've escaped death's jaws. You don't know what a song is until you were stuck and then you're escaped. Until you should have been destroyed, but you escaped. And this writer says, God didn't just deliver me, but we've escaped as a bird out of the snare. We were caught. We knew we were going to be dead, but we escaped out of that snare. And not only that, but God came along and broke the very snare that would have destroyed us. That would have destroyed us, God destroyed. And we are escaped. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the escape? Aren't you thankful for the escape? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I thank God for that chapter. Now, here's something about that chapter. I already mentioned to you it's a song of ascent, or a song of degrees that they sang on their way to worship. Many of those types of songs had to do, they all had to do with praise, but many of them had to do with remembering what the Lord had done, because they were going now to worship the Lord for who he is, and they were going to pray to the Lord for what they desire him to do. And before they got there for that purpose, they spent some time remembering where had been and what God had done. So I want to point this out to you. I'll point this out to you tonight, that one of the main aspects of walking with the Lord is to remember where we've been, what we've come through. And God is very adamant about memorials. God is very adamant about memorials. He told the children of Israel, when you cross over Jordan, when they were going in, pardon me, I'm getting choked up here. When they were going into the promised land, they were crossing over Jordan. Remember, he said, when you cross over, I want you to set up a memorial. I want you to put some stones up. I want you to put it up on the other side of Jordan, and I want you to take those stones from that belly of that river where you should not have been able to walk. I want you to take stones, and I want you to build a memorial when you come over. Here's why. He said, I know how you are. I'm going to bless you today, and you're going to forget it tomorrow. And then you're going to forget to tell your children and your children's children. And the reason that's dangerous is because you're going to need me to move on your behalf tomorrow. And your children are going to need me. And they're going to need their faith to be strong. And the way their faith will be strong is to remember what I've done for you already in the past. So we've got to remember where God has brought us. And the reason why so many people get discouraged in their current storm is they've forgotten what the Lord did in their previous storms. Let me show you this and we'll close. Mark the 6th chapter. Verse 45 is where I'm going to read. But if you were to read up above verse 45, you would read the story. It's a famous story of Jesus feeding the multitudes with a few loaves, a few fish. And the Bible lets us know that he feeds 5,000 men, and then their women and their children. Okay. And then we go into verse 45. So 44 says, they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. We all remember that story. Then verse 45 says, and straightway he constrained his disciples. Now we transition to the next phase of Jesus' journey and the disciples' journey. We go from this, can you imagine being there on the day that Jesus looks around at perhaps 20,000 people and looks at his disciples and says, how many loaves do we have? We've got about 7 loaves. Bring them. Can you imagine being one of the disciples that just keeps taking loaf after loaf, bread after bread, fish after fish, and going and feeding these thousands? You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know how he's doing it. You're just marveling that Jesus would feed so many with so little. Can you imagine that? And then now we immediately, Jesus says, all right, immediately, straightway, he says, now, disciples, I want you to get on this ship, and I want you to go over to the other side of the water, unto Bethsaida, and I'm going to take care of the multitude, and I'll send them away. And while he's sending the multitude away, the Bible says, when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. He was just walking on the sea to go ahead to the other side. He didn't need their boat, and they were going to be just fine. Gather from this. Notice from this what's going on here. The disciples are toiling in a storm, and Jesus is walking on the water to go, this is what it says, to go to the other side, and he would have passed by them because he had already taken care of them. So he does this wonderful miracle with them of feeding the multitude, and then he says, now let's see, let's see if you can have some faith here in the sea. Let's see if you can trust me who fed the multitude. See if you can trust me to see you through the storm, because he would have passed them by. Now, he doesn't pass them by, and here's the reason why. In verse 49, But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out because they're afraid, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Look at verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Ladies and gentlemen, it had just happened. They are still picking the fish out of their teeth and wiping the breadcrumbs off their faces when this all happens. And yet the Bible says, Mark tells us, they were wandering and they were amazed beyond measure. They did not expect such a thing to happen. And he points out, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Watch this, for their heart was hardened. Now that phrase there, for their heart was hardened, it doesn't mean they were rebellious. It doesn't mean that they had hardened their hearts. It means they are slow to understand. They are slow to learn, slow to comprehend. And so in that inability of theirs to be able to comprehend that and understand that, they are marveling at this miracle. Wow, we didn't expect this to happen. So here's my point, and I'll close with this. But Jesus says to them, in another scripture, in another account, why did you not have any faith? Where's your faith? Mark says, well, it's because they considered not the miracles of the loaves. Leave that up, if you would. They considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart, verse 52, for their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened. Their minds were slow to understand. They were slow to comprehend. So they considered not the miracle of the loaves. They did not remember it. It soon escaped them because they were slow to understand that if he did that, then he could do this. These are men who are struggling with the kingdom concept. They still believe that Jesus is going to establish some earthly kingdom and overthrow the Romans. That's their hope. So everything they see, they put it in that context. And Jesus is trying to get across to them, I'm not here for that reason. I'm here for an eternal purpose. And if you can grasp this faith thing and understand that what I'm doing is to build your faith, then we can graduate on to the next grade. So whatever you're going through right now, and we all go through storms. I believe our church right now, we're going through a season of a storm here. But the Lord is with us. And the reason I'm not panicked, and the reason I'm not discouraged, and the reason you should not be, is because I can look back when he fed the loaves and with the loaves and fishes the multitude, and he did it then. And if he did a miracle there, he can do a miracle here. I can look back a few years ago when I could have died of a heart attack, and God brought me through the heart attack. I can look back when many, many people in this church have a very similar testimony. Shouldn't be here, but here they are. So I'm reminding you, if God did it then, he'll do it now. So consider the loaves. Remember the miracles that he's already done. Don't forget where he's brought you from. And if he's brought you through that, he'll bring you through this. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He brought us here to bring us through. Amen. So trust the Lord. I don't know how you're feeling tonight. Maybe you feel all alone, or you feel deflated or defeated or discouraged or disgruntled or confused. But I just showed up here tonight with a word from the Lord to remind you that the same Lord who fed the multitudes with the loaves and fishes is the same Lord that can keep you in the middle of the storm. So if he did that, some of you need to stop and think, what all has he brought you through already? Amen. And remember, remember, remember. Don't let it escape your memory what God has done. Do that before you go to bed tonight. Take a little time and just get your little notebook out and begin to write, I remember when God did this for me. And I remember when I was in this trouble. And I remember when I had that problem. And you know, when you make that note, hang on to it. because you're going to need it again next month. You'll need it again this later in the year. Amen. And you can add this thing to it. I remember when I was in the middle of a storm. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was gasping for breath. Some of you are going to be able to write, and God showed up. I couldn't pay the next bill, and God showed up. I didn't know what I was going to do about my marriage, and God showed up. This storm is not going to take you out, my friend. God is going to see you through. Amen. We're praying together. Church, continue to pray. And know that your pastor is praying for you. We love you. We're here for you. And we say, God bless you. Hey, stay close to your phones. I'll let you know what time Sunday morning we'll go on Facebook Live. And I've already got a word the Lord's given me for you for Sunday morning. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. Hey, stay safe. Stay prayed up. God's going to see us through. Amen. God bless you.